morning. Father, we just thank you so much, God, for your presence. Thank you, Holy Spirit, that you live and move and work on the inside of us. Thank you, Father, for all the things that you have in store for us today, Lord. We just pray that you'd open up our hearts to receive. Jesus, today we declare that you are worthy of all praise and worship and honor. We thank you, Lord God, that you are our solid foundation. You are the rock upon which we build our lives. We pray that this morning you would continue to transform us more and more into your image, that there would be more of you and less of us, Jesus. We ask you, come, Lord, and minister to us today. Come and work in our hearts, God, as we worship you, as we turn our eyes upon you, Jesus.
You're worthy of every breath we could ever breathe.
Thank you, Father God, that you continue to lead us and guide us. We worship you, Lord, in the desert place, God, in the hills and the valleys of our lives, of every season, God. We declare that you are good. Promises are always true, Lord. Even in the waiting, God, you are working in us. Walking around.
Lord, you are so faithful.
Thank you, Father, for all the work that you continue to do in our lives, Lord. We declare, God, your promises, Lord, over our lives, Lord. We know that you are faithful, that you are true, God, that even when we can't see what it is that you're doing, even when the timing feels so long, Lord, we trust, God, that you are good, that you are a Father who loves us, who cares for us, who knows the seasons of our lives, God. Lord, today we declare that we will continue to praise you, God, through every circumstance, every valley, God. We will continue to bless your name, Jesus, because you are worthy and you are good all the time, Father. Nothing better, Jesus, than blessing your name, than worshiping your name, declaring your goodness, your faithfulness over our lives, God, in every season, in every situation, God. We just love you so much, Father. We thank you for all that you've done for us. We thank you for your son, Jesus. We thank you, God, for the privilege of coming together as a family, Lord. We bless your name, God. And yes, I will lift you high. In the lowest valley, yes, I will bless your name. And yes, I will sing for joy when my heart is heavy. All my days, oh yes, I will. And yes, I will lift you high. Welcome to Christian Worship Center. It's good to see each one of you. It's a pleasure. We're happy that you're here. You guys can go ahead and greet one another in the name of the Lord today. Amen. Praise the Lord. It's good to be in the house of God. Amen. Amen. It's good to see everyone this morning. It is a wonderful sunny day. It is really hot outside, but praise the Lord, we have AC in here. Amen. I just wanted to welcome everyone once again. If this is your first time here, we extend a huge welcome to you. We love meeting new people, getting to know new people, new family. So please, at the end of service, make sure you talk to one of us because we really do love talking, I promise. But anyway, I wanted to welcome you guys and give you a few announcements. We have a few things coming up by the end of this summer. Summer is not over yet. We're not even halfway through. We're still chugging along. So there is a few important things coming up by the end of the month. The first one that I wanted to tell you guys about is our Mexico Missions Banquet. It's happening on July 28th. That is going to be a Sunday, and it's going to be held here at 5 p.m. So if you are interested in helping us fundraise some money for the Mexico Missions trip, this is a fun way to do it. We have really, really good food that gets served here. We've done it, I want to say, maybe for the last five years now, and food just keeps getting better and better. We have a very special chef that likes to come and cook for us for those evenings. So please, if you know of anyone that would like to come to this banquet, who would like to participate, it's really just a fun night for adults. There is childcare provided during those times as well. So please share it on Facebook. It's up on our Facebook page. If you have Facebook, share it with your friends. We want to have a full house. Again, that's going to be July 28th at 5 p.m. in here. The reason why we're having that banquet is actually because of the Mexico missions trip that is happening on August 2nd through the 10th. So if you are a teenager, a young adult, if you have teenagers or young adults, please come up to me after service. Talk to me about it. I would love to tell you more information about it. The following week, we'll have flyers up for you guys, and we'll be selling those tickets for the Mexico Missions Banquet as well. So please, if that's something that you guys are interested in, come up and talk to us. It really is a good time for us to just get deeper into just knowing one another, into knowing the Lord, doing something for God, serving Him in another country. It's an experience that you definitely don't want to miss out on. If you're somewhat interested, if you heard this announcement today and you're like, oh, I think I want to go, that's the Holy Spirit, okay? but please, talk to me afterwards if you are interested. I can tell you more in detail about it. I have one more announcement. We have a Connect group for young adults today. We have moved up the time a little bit, and we do want to get to know you a little bit more. So we are actually meeting at 2:30 here at church, and then we're going to go somewhere really fun. So just come up to me. Again, if you want to know more about the Young Adult Connect group, we would love to get to know you, especially if you're a young adult. We want to fellowship with you. We want to do life together. So please come up to me or any young adult that you see. You're like, do you know about it? So that's that. But we do have other Connect groups. If you guys look at your bulletin, we have plenty of other Connect groups that meet throughout the week. So if you guys are interested in those, just grab your bulletin, or you can grab one on the way out. Find out who you need to call, and they would love to tell you more about it.
That's about it for this morning. I'm going to invite the ushers to come up here. And we are going to collect an offering. And it's just another form that we worship the Lord here in this place. We lift our hands and we sing out loud for the Lord. And that is one way of worship. But we wanted to do another form of worship, which is just giving to the Lord. So some of it that He has already blessed us so much with. Amen. Let's bow our heads and we'll pray. Jesus, I thank You so much, Father, for what You are doing in this place. I praise Your name, God, Father, because it is evident, Lord, that You are at work in our lives, Lord Jesus. It is evident, Lord God, Father, that You are moving, Father, that You are touching our hearts, that You are renewing our minds, Lord God, Father. And I thank You, Lord, that Your word, Father, is alive, Father, and working in this place, Jesus. I ask You, God, that as we offer You, Father, in this form of worship, Lord Jesus, to You, God, Father, You would multiply, that You would bless it, Lord Jesus, and that You would continue, Father, to provide, Father, our every single need, Lord God, not just financially, Lord, Father, but in our homes, Father, spiritually, Lord God, Father, in our relationships, Lord. Father, may we see, Father, You, Your providence, Father, and the way that You bless, Father, Your people, Jesus, in this place, God, that other people may look, Father, may we be of testimony. Father, may people wonder, Lord God, Father, who is this God that we serve, Lord Jesus, and it is You, Lord God, and we love being in this place, love getting to worship You, Father, in spirit and in truth. We pray, God, that You would open up our hearts, Father, today, Father, as we listen to Your word and go deeper, Father, into Your presence, Jesus. We love You, God. In Jesus' name, amen.
Good morning, church. It's good to see everyone here this morning. I'm glad you're here. I'm glad you're praising God. I'm glad you're together, and God is good, and it's good to worship together. Amen. By the way, if you like my shirt, this is Brother Fernando. He can hook you up with one. It's a Filipino shirt. I forgot its name, but I really like it. So you can see Brother Fernando, and he's a dealer of these shirts. Just kidding. Yes, thank you. I look Filipino today. I opened my closet this morning. I said, I'm going to make my Filipino brothers and sisters super happy today. And I wore that. So praise God. Amen. Today, I'm excited to open up a new series that's going to take us through most of the summer. And we call this series Recalibrate. And I'll explain to you what I mean. It's this technical word, but it actually means very specific thing that we're trying to see God do in our own hearts. Almost 10 years ago to the day, July 16, 1999, John F. Kennedy Jr., son of a president, was flying from New Jersey to Massachusetts. Most of you heard the story, it was in the news all over. And he was flying for a wedding, and he took off in the evening. And it was not a long flight, but as he got up into the air, something happened to him, what investigators call spatial disorientation. Pilots call that black hole vertigo, where because he was not an experienced pilot, his mind began to play tricks on him. And when you have this black hole vertigo, is you think up is down and up and down is up. You can't say left from the right or up from down, and you get confused. And he thought his plane was nosediving when in fact it was going up. And he began to correct that, and in fact, he drove the plane down into a downward spiral. And him, his wife, and their sister-in-law both all perished and died in that horrible accident. But it was, you know, the lesson I want us to learn from that is importance of when things get dark, when things get difficult, when you're in a season that's confusing. See, we all go through life, And we go through seasons when it's very difficult to figure out where God is, where He's working in my life, and where I'm going. And it's so important, especially in those seasons, that our hearts and our lives be aligned with the Word of God. You see, word calibrate means to come back to the standard. There's something that's unchangeable, immovable, just like that arrow in his dashboard was pointing to his altitude, but his mind began to play tricks on him. And it is so important for us, church, as a body of Christ, as believers, that we regularly come back to the Word of God, because this is our standard. Okay? Because as I go through life, I will go through different experiences, and sometimes they're painful, they're difficult, they're dark, and enemy will come and tell you, hey, God doesn't love you, He doesn't care, or you're going to go see somebody else's experience, and you're going to conclude something about life or about God because of what they experienced, and your spiritual altitude gets skewed, and you begin to lose sight of what's up and what's down. That's why it is so important to come back to the Word of God and to regularly check our heart. Holy Spirit can do that. To regularly calibrate our heart to the Word of God. Calibrate my convictions, not to my experiences, not to what's happening around me, but to the unchangeable Word of God. Amen? Listen, this was true when it was written many years ago. It is true today. It doesn't change. God's Word is for us and is applicable to your life. So we prayed from the beginning of year and what God would want us to study this year, and I felt very strongly too that we're going to preach through our statement of faith. We have 16 or 17 statements which are foundational to our faith, and we're going to preach through them. And I hope the Spirit of God gets you excited about it. And we're going to talk about Trinity, about the Word of God, infallible Word of God, about salvation, and many other foundational doctrines, and why they are so important, and why, and what they tell us about God, and what they tell us about our life. And my prayer is the Holy Spirit is going to calibrate our hearts and calibrate our convictions and our beliefs, not to what somebody said on TV, but to what God's Word is saying to you, what God's Word is saying to me, and what is written in the pages of the Bible. Amen? So with that, let's dive into the Scripture. A lot of my messages will come from the book of Hebrews, so I encourage you to read the book of Hebrews. Today we're going to talk from chapter 2 and 3, but next Sunday we're actually going to come back to chapter 1. And the Scriptures have for you book of Hebrews, chapter 2, verses 1 through 4. This is what the Word of God says. For this reason we must pay much closer attention to what we have heard, so that we do not drift away from it. For if the words spoken through angels proved unalterable, and every transgression and disobedience receive the just penalty, how will we escape if we neglect so great a salvation? After it was at first spoken through the Lord, it was confirmed to us by those who heard, God also testifying with them both by signs and wonders, and by various miracles, and by gifts of the Holy Spirit according to His own will. Second scripture I have to you, just the next chapter in Hebrews, chapter 3, verses 12 through 19. It says the following: take care, brothers, that there not be any one of you an evil and unbelieving heart that falls away from the living God. But encourage one another day after day, so long as it is still called today, so that none of you will be hardened by the deceitfulness of sin. For we have become partakers of Christ if we hold fast the beginning of our assurance firm until the end. While it is said, today if you hear His voice, do not harden your hearts, as when they provoked me. For who provoked him when they heard? Indeed, did not all those who came out of Egypt led by Moses? And with whom was he angry for 40 years? Was it not with those who sinned, whose bodies fell in the wilderness? And to whom did he swear that they will not enter his rest, but to those who were disobedient? So we see that they were not able to enter because of unbelief. Jesus, we invite you into this series as we dive in and study our foundational doctrines and beliefs, God, and the praise Spirit of God, the life of the Holy Spirit will come in, Lord, and a light from God will shine in our hearts, God, and it'll make this Word alive in our spirit, applicable in our everyday life, in Jesus' name. I pray, Spirit of God, that your truth will calibrate us, your truth will align us with unchangeable truth of the Word of God, and all other convictions, all other things that are out there in the world that are not aligned with your Word will fall in line with your truth and your Word. Spirit of God, we pray that you minister to each one of our hearts. Give us a teachable, humble heart to receive what you have to say to us, God. We rebuke every intention of the evil one to deceive, to distract people from your word, and we declare that the word of God shall fall upon the good soil of our hearts and produce fruit for the glory of God. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. I love Book of Hebrews. I love to study it, and we will study parts of it through this series. One of the biggest things that inspire me every time I read Book of Hebrews is these examples of these great men and women of faith who lived their lives, who struggled, who strived hard, but they overcame, and they are recorded in the pages of Scripture as men and women of faith. And I love reading those. It's very encouraging and uplifts you. But also, if you look at Hebrews, and almost in every single chapter, it's also famous for a lot of warnings. It's a lot of warnings about things that we as believers should not do or not follow or not go to. And I want us to keep in mind, church, that Hebrews was written to believers. Okay, it was a book that was written to the church. It wasn't written to the world. It was written to the church. In fact, it was written to Hebrew believers in the first century church. And it's very detailed. It's very deep and very rich in its revelation. And I want to come back to warnings. You see, we live in a culture where we don't like warnings, and we have warning labels on every single product. And we've learned to tune ourselves out from it, right? We kind of like, oh, it's fine, you know, yeah, there's warning. I mean, who, when you buy a new appliance, a new thing, who actually sits down and reads the manual and all those warnings, right? Don't plug it in backwards, don't do that. We kind of almost like roll our eyes as like, this is, I'm past that. And church, it's very easy to read the Scripture and kind of ignore the warnings, kind of like, oh, it's fine, it's for somebody else, it's for non-believers, it's for those carnal Christians who sit next to me, I'm beyond that, right? And it's very easy to do that, but church, we will do well to pay attention to the warnings. And today, it's going to be kind of an introduction to the entire series. I'm going to talk about the warnings. I'm going to talk about why there is a need for our hearts to be recalibrated and to be aligned with the truth of the Word of God. How do we get out of whack? How do we get out of line? And how devil uses different things in life to deceive us and distract us and pull us away from the body of Christ and our faith. You see, as we go through life, inevitably you will go through difficult experiences. And you will go through pain. You will go through dark seasons. We live in the broken world. You figured it out by now. And we deal with stuff. And it's difficult and it's hard. And often it's harsh. And when I'm living in pain, and when I'm going through a difficult time, and sometimes you're in such a pain, or you're in such a darkness and depression that you have no desire to pray. You have no desire to read the Bible. It's just dark, it's difficult, and when you open the Bible, nothing speaks to you, and it's dry, and you're wondering, God, where are you? It hurts. Or maybe you're in a broken relationship and it's really painful and difficult, or you're struggling with sickness or trying to get a job and it seems to be very difficult and broken and painful. You say, God, where are you? It's difficult, it's dark, it's painful. And you know what happens when you're in pain? Devil comes and he offers you an alternate solution or explanation. And he loves to speak lies into our hearts. And these lies are designed to lie about God and lie about you. And he'll whisper things like that, you know, God doesn't care about you. You're all alone. If you don't care of yourself, nobody's going to take care of you. And he begins to, his job, his desire is to separate you from the body of Christ and to harden your heart and to deceive your heart. And this is the three warnings I want to talk to you about. The Bible in the book of Hebrews we just read. First warning is, do not drift away. Do not drift away. Hebrews chapter 1. Chapter 2, verse 1 says that I want you to pay closer attention to what you've heard so you will not drift away. And church, there's many ways we can drift away, but I want to talk about two ways we as believers can drift away. One is generally as a church culture or as a church in 21st century. I love history. I'm a student of history. I love reading anything historic. And what bothers me about our Western church in 21st century is that we have this mindset that we finally have figured out how to do church, right? Is that we know it better than apostles did. We know it better than the first century. We figured it out. I mean, we write so many books, so many conferences, so many resources, how to do church. And we can easily fall into this mindset that we are experts of how to do church. And we know the best how to do church. And we kind of remove ourselves and drift away totally from historical Christianity. And we kind of have this nice thing that's very cultural and very, you know, very seasonal. And we market it as the way to the church. And there is a danger in that church because, you see, devil is not a very creative being. He just recycles the same garbage over and over and over again. And many times you see a church dealing with an issue and we're wondering, we think it's such a unique issue and it's so broken and whatever. But if you actually study church history, you realize that church already dealt with that. In 1st century or 2nd century or 3rd century, churches dealt with that. They worked through that. They came up with solution. They wrote it on pages either of Scripture or even a lot of early church historic writings. They figured things out. And there is a danger of us church drifting away from our roots of a first apostolic church. You know, for me, I consider the most successful church is a first century church. The one that was planted by the apostles and pastored by the apostles and their own disciples and the pastors, they mentored and they installed. So our desire through this series will be to go back to the roots and to the foundation and to the pure gospel and to the pure church before it was went through the centuries of changes and trials and error. Just come back to the foundation, to the roots. Don't drift away from that. Second way we drift away, church, is the enemy likes to separate Christians. I don't know if you ever met people who claim, I'm a Christian, but I don't like the church. Anybody met people like that? Maybe you used to be a person like that. And I've met many people who say, you know, Pastor, I love Jesus, but I hate the church. Which always startles me, you know, because it's I kind of can't really separate the two. But anyways, there, you know, if you look through life in my 15 years of pastoral experience, I've learned that people primarily become unchurched for two main reasons. Now, there's many other reasons, but there's kind of two categories. One category is that they prayed or believed that God was supposed to answer them in a certain way. They did not receive that answer. They said, God, forget you. I prayed about this healing. I prayed about this relationship. It did not happen. So if you don't care about me, I'm out of here. And they kind of move away. And they still kind of believe because they were either raised believers or they had a salvation experience. But they're upset with God. They're upset with church. And they just kind of, they drift on their own. And then there is a second type. And I've seen it happen over and over again. And it's the following. It's people who are part of the church, right? And because of some reason, it could be legitimate reason or completely just blown out of proportion, illegitimate reason, but they either have an argument at church or they have a drama with somebody or they just actually become too busy. They just have a season of life where they're extremely busy on or whatever, career, move, job, but they kind of figure out that I need a break from church. Anybody seen people like that who say, you know, I'm kind of need a break from church, which again, for me, sounds really funny, but that's, you know, we'll work with that, right? So people say, I need a break from church, and they kind of stay home for a while. They stay home for a couple of weeks, a couple of months, a couple of years, and then they come back. And they come back to church, and this is kind of, you know, so the first they kind of have an issue with somebody in church, or they don't like what pastor said, or worship team led, or whatever, they have an issue, whether real issue or imagined makes no difference. They kind of drifted away for a bit. And then after a while, the second part of that drifting away is they decide to take a break and then they come back. And when they come back, they kind of expect to see things as they left them. But you know, people have a way of moving on, right? You know, their job they used to do in church, somebody else took. And the friends they used to be with, they made new friends. And they come back and they have a difficult time connecting. They feel stranger while being in the family. I hope you don't feel like that this morning, church. If you, anybody here feels that, you know, there is a solution for that. But it's a really bad place to be. I've seen it happen over and over again. When people come back and they kind of know people, but they don't know what to talk about anymore because they've been out for so long. And they kind of feel like they should be friendly, but they are not really friends anymore. And it's this weird place that Satan uses to his advantage. Because when people feel strangers in the family, you know what's going to happen? They're not going to stay there long. They'll go there for a bit, but it's very painful. And after a while, they just go back to being a church. They drift away. And this is a church, this is what Scripture warns us against. Do not drift away. You see, being connected takes a conscious effort. You're not being connected just because you come to church. You're being connected when you come to church, you take interest in the life of people. You actually talk to them. You open up about your own life. You invite them into your own life. You invite them into your house. You visit somebody. You go meet for lunch. You join a connect group. You go to prayer meetings, to church events. You take a conscious effort to stay connected. Because if you don't do that, you know what's going to happen? You're going to begin to drift away. You're going to begin to drift away. And you know, not everybody's drifting at the same pace. And you know, church moves on. People move on. They are busy doing God's work. And people will miss you for a while, but they will deal with that eventually. And that's what happens when you come back. You feel distant, lonely, disconnected. And church, if you're in that place, if anybody of you in that place, just hang in there. Make friends. Connect. Invite people into your house. Reconnect, because devil will use that to pull you away from the body of Christ. Listen, you know, if you ever watch National Geographic or any of those movies and you see, like, you know, they have always these shots of lion chasing a deer or antelope or whatever. And you always notice that predators always go after the strayaways, right? I mean, predators will rarely attack entire herd. They will look somebody who's struggling behind, who has a little distance, who has not paid attention that the herd has moved on and has stayed behind. And devil comes right there like that. And listen, devil will love to go after the people who are in church. He does that. Because when I remove myself from the body of Christ and I become strayaway and become a prime target for the enemy. So church, this is the first warning I want us to talk about. Take courage and take strong effort to stay connected. Yes, people are different. People have different issues. Listen, no church is perfect. No church is perfect. Every church has its own issues. When you're going to come and get to know people, you know what you're going to realize is that people have problems. Amen? And guess what? You have problems. Right? And guess what? Every church has difficult people. Right? People who always have problems. People who only talk about problems. If you never met those people, you're probably a person like that. Right? It's just always difficult. You know, your elevator has only one button. It's basement, right? Anytime you talk to those people, they take you down. But listen, church is a place where we as believers, God is calling us to grow up and to mature. Well, we can handle people like that, right? Well, we don't just push out the difficult people and say, hey, unless you're like us, you can't be part of us. No. It's a place when we come and we pray and we minister and we heal and we help each other to grow up in Christ. Amen? It's not a nursery, perpetual nursery, where you always stay baby in Christ. It's a place where we grow up, where we mature, where relationship with each other, although difficult it may be at times, helps us to mature, helps us to grow. Because if I'm alone at home, I can mature as much as I can mature in the body of Christ. Amen? You see, Bible gives us many examples. Jesus talks about churches being a body. And individually, we are members of it. Now listen, every member of our body is useful. It has a function, has a role to play, has a calling that it's supposed to fulfill. But, you know, there is nothing more repulsive than a member of the body being cut off. I mean, you may look at your hand and say, hey, I have a nice strong hand. But if you go down the sidewalk and you see a chopped off hand, it's going to disgust you, right? Because that hand does not belong on its own. It belongs to the body. And church, this is what happens when we drift away. Is that something that I was fulfilling a function in the body of Christ, all of a sudden, something that was beautiful and useful and blessing others becomes useless and kind of difficult to deal with, and people don't know what to do about it anymore. Because it's not meant to be on its own. So church, work hard to be connected. It doesn't come naturally. That just because you come to church does not mean you get connected. Work hard at it. Build relationship. Come up to people. I know it's difficult. We are all different. We have all different expectations, different social skills. But church, we as a body of Christ need to take time to get into life of each other. Get interested in what's happening, your fellow brother and sister. Don't drift away. Because devil will use that to separate you. And it's not the end. It's just the beginning. Because second warning we're going to talk about, first is drifting away, then it's hardened heart. And then it's deception. So second warning that we read in Hebrews chapter 3 says, do not be hardened by the deceitfulness of sin. And we started talking about how when we go through life, we go through pain. And listen, pain demands an explanation. When I'm in pain, I wonder why. When somebody wounds me, when somebody betrays me, rejects me, walks out on me, we wonder why. It hurts and we wonder why. You know what? Devil comes in and he begins to give an explanation. Well, it's because you're ugly. It's because you're unlovable. It's because God doesn't care about you. And listen, in our right state of mind, we would never believe that. Right? But when I'm in pain, when I'm hurting, it makes sense. And we begin to make agreements with those lies and those statements of the enemy. And those lies, they become these literally like a brick in a heart where we begin to build walls. We begin to say things like, I'm never going to let anybody hurt me again like that, right? I'm never going to let anybody close to me again. I'm never going to love again. I'm never going to be vulnerable again because we've been taken advantage of. We have been hurt. And as I said to you before many times, the walls we build to protect the hearts are the same walls that keep us from healing. The walls we build to protect us, our hearts from pain are the same walls that keep us from getting healed. And when I go through pain and when I deal with life, and it's easy for the heart to get hardened and callous and a little bit desensitized and crusted. And Scripture warns about it all throughout, this condition of hardened heart. Jesus spoke to Israel and said, hey, you know, because they came up and said to him, hey, why do people divorce? Moses said, it's okay to divorce. And Jesus said, listen, people divorce because of hardness of their hearts. If you're looking for number one reason of divorce, it's not money. It's not conflict. It's hardened heart. Because when we deal with conflict and pain of life, our hearts get hardened. And listen, it happens to all of us. Church, it can happen to any of us. It happens to all of us. That's why the Bible warns that we are to guard against it. In fact, when the Bible says the following, it says, take care, brothers, that there not be any one of you an evil, unbelieving heart that falls away from the living God. Isn't that an amazing statement? Now, some people wonder, you know, can Christian really fall away? Well, this is your answer. You see, when my heart gets hardened, and I begin to live in unbelief, I begin to stray away. First I'm drifting, then I'm hardened, then I'm deceived. And it happens again to any of us. I remember when we started this church, you know, 14 years ago, and probably about four or five years into it, it was a difficult season. It was hard, you know, the work was hard, and things weren't really working as we were planning them to work. And we had a visitor. It was a couple who live in different states, but their family lives close to church, and they would come visit about once a year. And after service, I start talking to them, and that man begins to talk to me and says, Pastor, God has showed me something when you were preaching. And I'm all excited. I thought, you know, he's going to tell me the greater revelation he received. He says, God showed me that your heart is callous. He says, after trying to work so hard and trying to prove so hard that you can do this, your heart became hardened. And at first, it kind of recalled me. I was like, whoa. And I didn't know what to do with that, but then I began to pray. God began to show me that, you know, sometimes we can have this attitude, I can do this. And I can prove to everybody else, and I can prove to God that I can do this. And listen, it takes so many forms and shapes, but God is warning us, watch out for your heart. Don't let it get hardened. Don't let it get hardened, because when you're in the heart and heart, you begin to tune out the Holy Spirit. You begin to tune out other people. You have these walls around you. Walls that are meant to protect you from pain, but they're also protecting you from the presence of God. And that place is dangerous. That place is lonely. That place is dark and painful. Watch out. Watch out. Don't let your heart get there. And listen, let Holy Spirit reveal that to you. It's very difficult to actually figure it out unless Holy Spirit begins to speak to you and say, hey, no, the way you snapped on your spouse, on your child, there's actually something there bigger than you think it is. Oh yes, maybe they rubbed you the wrong way, or maybe boss said something to you that really make you snap. But whoa, what's the reaction all about? You see, when Holy Spirit begins to point things like that to you, don't tune Him out. That's what the Bible warns about. It says we have to pay close attention. Because if I don't pay close attention, I will drift away. I will get hardened. Pay close attention to what the Holy Spirit is speaking to you, because He might be pointing things out. You know, sometimes you go through a day saying, I'm having a horrible day. You know, my kids drive me nuts. My boss drive me nuts. I go on the highway. Everybody's driving erratically. It's just a bad day. But God is saying, hey, God is after something. You know, it's almost a joke in my own life, but I have these things. When I go to store, I always encounter the long lines. I don't know about you, but no matter how much I try to find the shortest line to check out, there's always either a lady who's trying to pay with check and they can't scan it for some reason, or somebody who brought an item that they can't scan, right? And you stand there for 20 minutes. And you are like the next person to check out. And, you know, by now I'm just saying, God, what are you after? Because it happens every time I go to store. And it's like, no matter how, the faster I'm trying to check out, the longer I wait in line. It's like, God, it's just, you got to wait. You just got to wait. And I used to be furious. I used to come home and just complain to my wife, like, these people, I mean, they need to do something about it. They need to ban checks, you know. It should be banned to pay with checks because they hold up the line. But God is after something. Listen, God will point things out into your life, in your life, in your relationship, with your family, with your kids, with your spouse, with your boss, with people around you. God will use that to point out issues of your heart. So instead of snapping on everybody and just going on your Facebook and ranting how everybody's crazy out there, say, God, what are you after? What are you after? What is it in my life? What is it in my heart that you're trying to highlight? What am I missing here? Because as you begin to do that, God's going to begin to work in your heart. So we are to, Bible just warns us, pay attention to your heart. Don't let it get callous. Don't let it get hardened. Don't just, when God opens up and exposes these things to you, allow Spirit of God to minister and heal and restore. Because you see, the danger of a hardened heart is that hardened hearts are candidates for deception. Because when I'm in the right state of mind, that was not going to deceive you, because you know it's not as easy. But when my heart is hardened, when my senses are off, when I'm going through what John F. Kennedy Jr. went through, this black hole vertigo, when you don't know what's up, what's down, and when you begin to doubt what you believe, when you begin to doubt the people you trust, when you begin to doubt the Bible and the Word of God and the voice of the Holy Spirit, and you think, I'm doing the right thing, I'm doing the right thing, I'm doing the right thing, and you don't even realize that you're about to have a disaster. Watch out. Watch out for the hardened heart, because it breaks relationship. It breaks up churches. It breaks up marriages. It breaks up families. It leads to disaster. It always leads to disaster unless the Spirit of God intervenes and softens and exposes and brings healing. And again, that's what church is for, right? That's what church is for. When you come back, when you come to church and you know you get in a fight with somebody, hey, we don't just walk out on people. We don't throw people out because we had a difficult time. You work things out. You work things out. And you say, hey, what is it going on? Did I overreact? Why did I overreact? What happened? What's in my heart that made me miss that? And you allow Holy Spirit to deal with that. So last warning I want to talk to you about this morning is deception. We talked about don't drift away. Let your heart get hardened. The last warning is don't get deceived. Stay sober. Stay alert. Don't allow the enemy to deceive you. You know what's crazy about deception? Is that people who are deceived, they don't know about it. They don't know about it. Just like that, you know, John F. Kennedy Jr., when he was flying, he was convinced that he's going up when his own mind was deceiving him. Now listen, when you live in a hardened heart long enough, your own heart will begin to deceive you. That's what the Bible says, that the heart of man is the most deceitful thing. And when my own heart begins to deceive me, and I don't know what's up and what's down and what's right and what's wrong, you begin to really make a lot of mess of your life. And you know, you can see some of the signs, you know, some of the signs of being deceived is that, you know, you believe that you're the only one who's right and everybody else is wrong. Have you ever met people like that? Have you ever felt like that? When, oh, everybody tells you that's not what it is, but you know, everybody's wrong. I'm the only one who's right. Watch out. Watch out, because when you are there,
You're already there. Those are warning lights. Those are warning lights that you're losing altitude very quickly. I need to listen to the voice of the Holy Spirit. You need to be listening to the Word of God, because you're about to crash. You're about to wake up to a very rude awakening. That you have been deceived. An enemy has stolen from you. An enemy has robbed your life. And listen, you know, when you're in that state of hardened heart, you know, somebody comes in and they give you an idea that's completely off the wall. But because I'm hardened, because I drifted away, I accept that. And I receive that and I live with that, and it becomes a downward spiral, drifting away, hardened heart, deception. And then one thing piles up on another, and you see people come. What the Bible calls, they experience a shipwreck in their faith. They made a mess of their life. They made a mess of their testimony. They made a mess of their family. They just broke in life. And again, you know, these warnings in the Bible, as we read through the Scripture, they're like warning lights on your dashboard, right? When that arrow says, "Yeah, your engine's a little bit overheating. You gotta do something about it." You say, "Oh, I'm okay. I'm just gonna get there," right? Or when your tank gauge says you're basically on empty, so I can get to the next exit. You know, you end up pushing your SUV down the highway like it did many times, because you think you can make it, because you trust your instincts more than you trust something that's a lot more reliable. And church, that's why I believe Holy Spirit is calling us to go through this series that we call Recalibrate. Is because we're gonna go and look at the Bible, and we're gonna come to the Bible with an open heart and say, "Hey, this doesn't change." Oh yes, times changes, culture changes, civilization changes. This does not change. Bible says the Word of God is eternal Word of God. There is not a one thing in the Word of God that's going to change. It stays the same. This is our standard. And I have to come with an open heart before God and say, "God, show me what's in my heart that's out of whack with this standard." And whatever's out of line, whatever's out of whack, I'm going to have to humble myself and submit myself and say, "God, deal with my heart. Bring me in alignment with the Word of God." Because when my life is out of alignment, you are headed to a shipwreck. You are headed for a crash. But when I'm aligned with God's Word, when I'm aligned with what God says, then I am following the path of blessing. I'm following the God's blessing, God's path, and God's blessing will always lead to God's will, God's purposes, God's blessings. So that's why we're going to go through this series in church. I pray that the Spirit of God will give us a teachable heart, a humble heart, because, you know, enemy will come and begin to lie to you. He's going to say, "You don't need that. You've been a believer for 30 years. You don't need that stuff. You need to talk about basics. You need to talk about foundations." You know, that's for those people who just came to church. And it's easy for us to tune that out. It happens to all of us. Happens to me. Happens to all of us. When you go somewhere and you turn on the radio, there's a preacher speaking about something. It's like, "Oh, I know that stuff. Let me turn it off." But listen, Spirit of God, He's after something. And I believe as we're going to dive into the Word of God, as we're going to look at these foundations that listen, some of these early church fathers and apostles, they died for the purity of the gospel. It was so important that they died for it. It wasn't just an optional, it wasn't kind of, "Well, if you didn't like it, that's fine." No, it was an absolute truth of the Word of God that they laid their lives down for, so you and I can receive the pure gospel. So we won't get this watered-down version or man's version, but God's version of the Word of God. And listen, and a lot of these issues and these new things that we think, "Oh, we got this new revelation, new doctrine," it was around for a long time. And not that God cannot reveal something new, but when it comes to our salvation, revelation about God, revelation about eternal life, revelation what God's going to do at the end times, it's all in here, church. It's all in here. And when somebody comes and claims, "Oh, I just got this new revelation, no, and I got these new spectacles that angel gave me, and I can read the Bible and have this thing that nobody else sees," watch out. Right? Church, we can't be gullible. We can't fall for that, but we fall for that when we drift away, when our hearts get hardened. We are prime candidates for deception. So that's the disease, church. We're about to receive a cure for the rest of the summer. And I pray the Spirit of God speaks to you, speaks to all of our hearts. Study the Word. Read through Hebrews many times as you can. We're going to touch on some other books. And God's going to bless you. God's going to work in our hearts. God's going to work in our church. He's going to work in our community. Amen? Let's be on our feet. We're going to pray. Father, I thank you for your word. I thank you that you are unchanging, God. You do not change your mind because you're not a man that you should lie or change your mind, God. And your word is unchangeable. It's eternal. It's absolute, God. It's 100% inspired, infallible word of God. And I pray, God, as we go through life and as we go through circumstances and we deal with difficulties or we deal with people who go through circumstances, as we pick up these ideas and these conclusions that often are lies of the enemy, God, I pray, Spirit of God, that your word will align us. Your word will correct us. Your word will bring us in alignment with the plan of God and the will of God for our lives. Help us to humble ourselves, God. Help us to have a teachable spirit, God. And I pray right now also that all throughout this series, God, the healing of God will come. Because Spirit of God is going to be pointing out that brokenness, that pain, that wound. And the word of God is going to bring healing. It's going to be like an oil poured out upon the wounded heart. And the Spirit of God is going to bring healing and restoration and correction. And you got to work in our hearts, God. Give us grace to receive what you have to say, God. Give us grace to submit and to be corrected by your Spirit, to be corrected by your Word. And Lord, show us, God. Show what's in our heart, God. If we are oblivious to the hardness of our heart, if we are oblivious to the deception we believed from the enemy, God, point it out. Expose that, God. Speak to our hearts. Refine us. Refresh us. Renew us. Prune us. For your glory and your kingdom. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. God bless you, church. Be blessed. May a week be blessed. We have refreshments in the fellowship hall. Thank you for coming.